Today's scripture reading is Exodus 20, verse 4 to 6.
If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand and the usher will get one to you. If you have a Bible from the church, it's page 61. Exodus 20, verse 4 to 6. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. The word of the Lord.
At first, no one paid attention to their loud voices that were calling from an apartment that was from the southwest side of Rockford, Illinois. This is on February 3rd, 1929, some time ago. The young couple lived in a apartment upstairs in a house that was located on Wall Street and of Rockford, Illinois, and they fought quite frequently. They moved in shortly after their wedding, which was on July 23rd in 1928. And anybody who knew them, friends and family, would call their marriage relationship rocky, for sure. Their disputes all came from Joseph Morris's jealousy over his wife. Because anybody who saw Josephine would say she was very, very beautiful. Joseph was 31 years old and employed as a laborer at the gas company, and Josephine was only 24, and she was employed at a local factory at the time. Well, the neighbors became concerned because this yelling and shouting turned into shrieks of terror, and then it all went silent, and then they heard the bang of a gun. And so they called for help, and they rushed to the Morris' home to see what was going on. And the police arrived and went into the building, into the house, and the first thing they noticed as they started up the stairs was a chair, empty chair at the top of the stairs. Which was odd. So then they went into the apartment, or the upstairs apartment, and they found Josephine, the wife, on the floor in the kitchen, blood all over her face, and she had cuts to her in different places on her hands and arms. And there was a bloody knife on the table that was near her. And to their surprise, as they got closer to her, she was still alive. So they rushed her to the hospital. And then when they found Joseph, the husband, in the bedroom, in a pool of blood, and there was a gun next to his left hand, and it looked like he had shot himself in the left ear. Josephine's injuries were so extensive that for a full month, she couldn't explain what had happened. And then finally, after a month, she was able to testify about what had happened that evening. Josephine testified that she went home after work, and she met Joseph, and she could tell that he was in a bad mood. So she left home and went to go visit some local relatives that were nearby. And then she returned home after 9 p.m., hoping that Joseph had cooled off at that time, which he hadn't. And when she went up the stairs to their apartment, he was waiting in this rocking chair at the top of the stairs for her. And soon they got into it. They started arguing, and Joseph followed Josephine into the kitchen, where he suddenly grabbed a knife, and he started slashing at her. And she got 9 cuts on her face in different ways, and then her cuts on her hands and her arms were her trying to protect herself. And she just collapsed unconscious onto the floor there. Well, Joseph, thinking that he had killed his wife at that moment, went into his bedroom, pulled out the revolver from his drawer, and shot himself in the head. Josephine was disfigured for the rest of her life by the wounds that her husband had carved into her. I share this story to you because this was an act out of jealousy. The jealousy of the husband. And jealousy often leads to situations of violence and broken relationships. It's very ugly. This is what we think of when we think of jealousy or someone who is jealous. And that is why it's hard for us to accept when we read the scriptures like Catherine just did for us, that God is a jealous God. You think, wait, how can that be? I don't understand. It's hard for us to understand that. And we often struggle to understand this because of what we've experienced in the world and in ourselves when we feel jealous of someone else. Well, a few weeks ago, I started a series on knowing God better, knowing His characters and His attributes. And I did this because often I find that myself and all of us who follow Christ have a hard time regularly seeking the Lord God in time alone with Him, like spending time regularly to go and be with Him in prayer, to be with Him in studying His Word or silence or meditation. We just struggle to do that regularly. And it's mainly because we don't really know Him. We don't know Him that well. Because if we did, that wouldn't be a problem. But since we don't, we struggle. We don't desire to be with Him and learn more about Him because we don't really know what He's like. That's the real root of the cause. And so we are going through this series trying to understand His character, His qualities, who He is. And so far we've learned that God comes first. That was the first one in the series, that He is before all things. He's the originator of all things that we know to exist. And then that God is love. It's part of who He is. He is love. Himself is full of love, and He is love. And then the last one was on, we learned about God's great mercy for us. And now we are today going to learn that God is a jealous God. A jealous God. And what does that mean for us? And what does that mean for Him? Well, the Bible isn't ignorant of people's jealousy at all. It's very real when you read through the scriptures in the Old Testament, especially of the stories of what people have done to each other. And we can think of a couple stories right now. You know the story of Cain, for example. Cain was madly jealous over Abel, and so he ended up murdering his brother, his own brother, Abel. Then there's King Saul, who was jealous over David, this young leader that was rising up in his cohort, and because David's success in war was greater than King Saul's own success. And so that jealousy turned into a bitterness, and then he even attempted to kill David, though he was unsuccessful. But what does it mean then when the Lord God Himself reveals to us in His Word that He is a jealous God? And then what does that mean for us too, personally? So that's what we're going to be looking at. Well, to be jealous means being intolerant of rivalry or unfaithfulness. Or you could be being disposed to suspect rivalry or unfaithfulness, which is what that woman's husband did, Joseph. And therefore, jealousy is an unhappy or angry feeling caused by the belief that someone you love likes someone else or is liked by someone else, like a rival for your love relationship with that person. When we typically think of jealousy, we think of something negative, don't we? It's not positive at all, because that's not our experience. Jealousy does not bring anything positive, like the husband who will not trust his wife, regardless of the years and years of faithfulness that she has had to him. But he doesn't trust her. He's jealous, thinking there's others that are going to try to work in. Or like the neighbor or friend or family member or coworker who gets upset when we succeed in something and then can't hardly hide their joy when we fail at something, because they're jealous. They're jealous of you, of your good looks, of your position at work or your success in school, your good grades, whatever it may be. They're just jealous of you. And it's ugly. The true object of a jealous person's concerns is themselves, and they find themselves lacking in comparison with another person in some way. Or they hate the thought of someone having something they don't have. And they become jealous. Such jealousy is rooted in what the Bible describes as envy. envy is that which is a self-serving hatred of another because you want what they have and you don't have. This is jealousy you and I experience and see in the world all the time. This is our experience that is common, unfortunately. But the jealousy of God is not rooted in envy at all. God's jealousy that we see here is rooted in His love. It's a jealousy that comes from His love for His people, not out of envy, because God will not envy because He has nothing to envy. Because God comes first, right? He's the creator of all things. So he doesn't need to envy anything because it's all His anyway. He created it, and why would He envy something that He has made? So it's not out of envy. God's jealousy is rooted in His love because God is love. So all His characters and qualities work together because they're all Him. They're not dichotomized. They're all descriptive of who He is. As Pastor George Morrison once described, and I like this, God's jealousy is the shadow cast by His love. Kind of the dark side of His love. Imagine you're married. Okay, everyone here, even the teenagers. Imagine you're married. Okay? Single people, married. You're all married. Okay? Not together, but you're just married. Okay? And you have a teenage daughter. Okay? Just work with me. You come home from work, and there's this strange man in your living room with your teenage daughter, talking to her. And this man that is chatting with your daughter explains to you that he's been chatting with your daughter online now for some time. And he and your daughter are madly in love. So that's why he's there. He seems to be about 40 years old. And your daughter is 14. Okay. He says that your daughter and him are planning to elope and go to a country that permits girls her age to be married without parents' consent. And he's there in your house to pick up your daughter. Now, assuming that you would restrain yourself long enough to assess what you're feeling, what you would find is that you are jealous for your daughter. Now, you're not jealous of your daughter. You're jealous for your daughter. Jealous meaning for the affection that rightfully belongs to you as her parent. And jealous for her right of safety and happiness that belongs to her. That's what she deserves. And you would act swiftly and hopefully legally in response to this situation to remove this man from your daughter's life. Okay, then that is kind of helping us understand that the jealousy you see of God is rooted in the love that He has for His people. And He will do extreme things when necessary to protect and preserve that love relationship with His people. He's very jealous for His people. And when you look at the scriptures, God's jealousy, when it comes up, it's always, always, always in the context of His people worshiping other gods. Let's look at our text again, Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. Now listen in this context. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000, and implied here means 1,000 generations, of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now this text here is the second commandment of the 10 commandments that the Lord God gave to the Israelites at Mount Sinai after He had redeemed them and saved them and brought them out of Egypt taking them to the promised land. This is a stop on the way, Mount Sinai. And He gives this second commandment, and He also gave the other 9 as well. And here He speaks against making idols and worshiping them. Right? It doesn't make sense because God made everything, so why are they worshiping something He made? You should worship the maker of those things. Today, though, likewise, the idols we make might simply be the goals we've set for ourselves, for financial security. That could become an idol for us. I want to make $1 million before I'm 40. That could become an idol for us. Or professional success, or educational excellence, or family prosperity. All these things could become an idol for us that we make. So what is the object, we should ask, of our affections, our efforts, our attention? Where does much of our time go, or what do we spend the greatest amount of our resources on? These things could be our idols. If the Lord God isn't the object of our affections, our attention, or our efforts, then we are worshiping an idol. That's the place of it. That's the facts. If He isn't a part of all of our thoughts and the goals for what we're doing, ultimately, we have idols in our lives that we're worshiping other than Him. And God is a jealous God. He's very jealous for you. Many times we work so hard in life, we end up worshiping what we've worked hard for. Like, for example, a parent's idol. You may have experienced this as a kid or as a parent. Parents' idol might be their own children, because parents work hard to provide for them, right? And they give them opportunities. They try to give opportunities to us children that they themselves maybe never had. They hope that their children will become someone important or great or stable, secure. Men, our idol might be our work or our skills that we take pride in. Children, our idols might be what we entertain ourselves with. It can become anything. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to give anything more attention, more affection, more passion, more love than Him. In a sense, He doesn't want us to worship anything. That means to give worth to anything more than we give worth to Him, our Lord God. He demands our exclusive love. That just means that He demands all our love. He doesn't want us to love anything else besides Him. Because when we love Him, then His love will flow through us and we will be able to love effectively in a good way others that are around us. God's jealousy is described in the words of Jesus when He said the following. These are the words of Jesus. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See jealousy there? Listen to how Luke recorded these similar words to Christ, but even in a more extreme way, when he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. God demands our exclusive love. And when we don't give it to Him, there's something in the way of that love relationship, and He's jealous for us. He's very jealous. Then Luke even goes on later in this same part where Jesus is speaking to His disciples to challenge them, saying, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. God demands that we love nothing and no one more than we love Him. Some people say you got to put God first. But what Jesus is saying, you got to put me only. I'm not first among many. I'm the only one. All your love is to go to me. Nobody else. Don't worry about your spouse or your children. If you love me, I will provide the love that you can have for them. But you love me first, more than them. Matter of fact, you got to love me so much, it should be, when compared, that you will hate them, and you will love me. That's the difference, when compared to how much you could love me. That's how God is jealous for us. Now, God's jealousy is not made out of His frustration, or envy, or spite. No. It's just like our jealousy is. No, we got to remove that thought. Rather, God's jealousy is rooted in His love and is a zeal, is a passion, is an enthusiasm that He has for the love relationship with His people. Wouldn't you love to have, we all desire to have someone in our lives love us, adore us. Cindy and Lee, just learning that. You guys are love and adore each other. You're going to get married next week. Right? They're going to speak their vows to each other next week of love and adoration and commitment. Big commitment. Huge commitment to each other. You ready for it? Yeah, okay, good. Amen. Yeah. We're just practicing for next Saturday. Okay. Yeah, but this is God's jealousy does not come from envy and spite. It's from his deep, enthusiastic, passionate love that he has for you and for me. That's where his jealousy comes from. Now, there's two sorts of jealousy that are among us people on earth, and one of them is sinful, and the other one is not. The sinful jealousy is an expression of the attitude, I want what you got, and I hate you because you have it, and I don't. See, there's that jealousy. I am really upset because I haven't got what you have. And that could be a character quality. It could be just success that you have made. I don't know if you remember Reed Monahan and our retreat. He mentioned at one point in one of his talks about how he, like, if they get down to, like, the end of some, like, cookies or something like that, he has, like, three kids, I think. And he would, you know, my mom would have, like, specifically cut it up into three exact things and given it to each of us, right, to be fair. But he said, no, we don't do that in my house. I choose a child to give it to. And the other children are upset. And he uses it as an example to say, why are you upset? You should love your brother who just got it and rejoice with him that he got an extra cookie. You should be happy for him. Right? And he's dealing with this issue of jealousy. Right there. And I thought, wow, that is so good. But we don't have any kids to practice that with. We'll try it with Summer. Yeah. I don't think that'll work, but we'll try. Yeah, but she doesn't have any brothers or sisters. But yeah. Anyway. But that is the attitude of this sinful jealousy. I want what you've got, and I hate you because I haven't got it. It is resentment which expresses itself in envy and hatred and even unkindness. People are unkind to people that they're jealous with. It's a very powerful emotion before it feeds, and it is fed by our pride, which is the root source of our sinful nature, our pride. All our sin generates from that, because we're thinking of ourselves. But there is a sort of jealousy that isn't sinful. And this is the jealousy of God as well, but it also can exist in us. It is a zeal, a passion to protect a love relationship or to avenge it when it's broken. It's like we saw with the parent and the daughter, who is going to be taken advantage of by this 40-year-old guy, sleazebag, you know, who's coming into the house. Listen to the jealousy of God and for his people as described in the scriptures and other places. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Joshua, the leader of the Israelites when they were going into the promised land, said this to the Israelites. Interesting. He says, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. In other words, even though he's done all this good for you up to this point, if you turn on him, he's going to consume you out of his jealousy for that relationship. He will punish you. Psalm 78:58 says, for they provoked him to anger and their high places, with their high places, they moved him to jealousy with their idols. Again, the whole idea of worshiping other gods. In the Old Testament, we find divine permission for such brutal deeds. Some people criticize the Old Testament and say, oh, the God of the Old Testament is not like the God of the New Testament. But they're totally wrong, because they haven't probably read and looked at both testaments. It's the same God. But what's interesting is you see God giving permission for all these brutal deeds, but you can never claim that there is a God of the Old Testament who doesn't care. No, he absolutely cares. As a matter of fact, he totally cares. That's why he is jealous for his people, because he intensely cares. God's jealousy is a zeal for his people. He passionately cares for his people. He loves with a love so burning and intense That is why he sent his son Jesus as an atoning sacrifice for the people of the world. Listen to how much his is described his love for his people, as Zechariah 2:8 says, or describes, "For he who touches you," meaning the Israelites at that point, or the Hebrew of God's people, "touches the apple of his eye." We are the apple of God's eye. We are the one that God treasures and holds precious so much. Do you feel that way? Do you feel precious? My precious. That's what God's saying about you. My precious. And he's going to go crazy if anybody is going to get in the way of that relationship with you and him. God's jealousy is a zeal for his love relationship with his people. So the jealousy of God is key to understanding the brutal deeds of the Old Testament. That's why he is so harsh against the nations that do not follow him or attacking his chosen people. But also, if you look at it, that's why he's so harsh with his chosen people too later on when they turn away from him. Because he wants them to turn back to him. And so he punishes them. But it is also key to understanding, God's jealousy is the key to understanding that why Jesus came to the earth to die for us who were rejecting him. Because God wanted to reconcile his people. He wanted to restore that love relationship that was broken by our turning away from him to other things. Idols that we've made. Man-made things. For God's jealousy tells of a love so deep, so strong, so wonderful, that he is willing to go any length, even the death of the Son of God, to restore that relationship. That's the jealousy of God in action. That's how amazing God is. And intense his love is for you and for me. So God's jealousy means he punishes anyone or anything that threatens the relationship of his people with himself. And that even applies to us. When we love someone or something more than we love the Lord God, and we're turning away from the Lord God, it's not going to go well for us, because God is a jealous God. He will punish us. He won't remove our salvation or whatever, but we will be miserable because we are not following the Lord God, which we're designed to do. We're not fulfilled, brothers and sisters. And even if you're not a believer here, you're not ever going to be fulfilled until you love the Lord your God and acknowledge him as your Lord. Because that's the way we are designed. So when we make an idol of something or someone and worship it, we can expect to be disciplined. And life won't go well for us. God's jealous love for us resulted in sending Jesus to die in our place, and reconcile us to God and forgive us of our sins. So the jealousy of God then demands us to be zealous, to be passionate, to be enthusiastic for him in response. Just as we saw in the earlier messages, right, where God's love for us, the right response to that is our love for him. Well, in the same way, God's jealousy for us, the right response is for us, in a sense, to be jealous for him, to be have zeal for him, to have enthusiasm, to have passion for the Lord God who is so jealous for his people. God's concern for us is great. And so our concern for him should be great too. That's the response that he's looking for, because he's jealous for us. He doesn't want anything to get in the way of our love for him, that love relationship we have. And so that passion we have for him is to be devoted to his person, his honor, and his purpose on earth. And this is because we have this exclusive love relationship with the Lord God. Now, for example, when a couple is married, they become a one-flesh union, as described in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. The very beginning of the Bible talks about this. And that one-flesh union is a morally impenetrable relationship, a barrier, in a sense, excluding all other human beings. When a husband and wife commit to each other, they are saying, "I will love you and commit myself to you. I'm giving all myself to you and no one else on earth. The love I have for other people is not the same as the love I have for you. So that is marriage. That is intimacy that is discovered in that time. And it's good for us to give of ourselves away, to yield ourselves to this mega commitment called marriage, because then we have the intimacy that we so desire on earth. And we cannot get that intimacy without giving all of ourselves. It's not going to work. People live together, unmarried, and all these things. It's not the same, because they're not married. They haven't committed themselves until death parts us, until the end of one of us. No, they're just living together while it works out, right? And then if it doesn't work out, they break up and go somewhere else, right? That's not marriage. That's not commitment. That's not where they're gonna miss out on that intimacy the way God has it. It's not an exclusive love relationship, which is what marriage is all about. A complete self-giving of each other and a lifelong exclusive love relationship. Now, our relationship with God is like a marriage. Marriage is actually, in the scriptures, says like a shadow, a foretelling of what God's relationship with us is, as His church and us individually. Marriage is just like that. Our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about it, our commitment to Him as Lord is like a marriage. It is a commitment to Him in intimacy. We see that it's the ultimate intimacy that we have with Him. He takes us as His bride. Kind of feels weird, I know, if you're a man, but He takes us as His bride, the scriptures describe it as. And He gives us all that He has and is able to give, right? God has given us everything. His own Son, His own life, to make this possible. And He has committed Himself to us. And He desires and demands we commit ourselves completely, absolutely back to Him in this love, exclusive love relationship. It's just like the marriage relationship. And in response to Him, then, in becoming Christians, followers of Jesus, we pledge to Him all that we are, all that we have, to this love, exclusive, this lifelong exclusive love relationship. So, this is what God is jealous for, our love. And His love is well committed to us already. Well, there's this guy, sometime before his death in the 2003 space shuttle Columbia disaster. I don't know if you guys remember that. Re-entering the atmosphere, and then it just burned up. Everybody on board got killed. Well, Colonel Rick Husband was one of the astronauts on that space shuttle, and he was recounting his spiritual growth process, including how God helped him to apply to his life the command in the scriptures that says, commit your way to the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Meaning, commit your all to Him and experience that intimacy with the Lord God, and He will reach all your desires that the Lord has given you. So, Colonel Husband wrote the following. I'm just going to read this, what he had written. It's pretty amazing of this transformation as an astronaut. He said, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought, remember, it's about this command. And I thought, well, if I ended up at the end of my life having been an astronaut, but having sacrificed my family along the way, or living my life in a way that didn't glorify God, then I would look back on it with great regret. And having become an astronaut would not really have mattered all that much. And finally, I came to realize that what really meant the most to me was to try and live my life the way God wanted me to, and to try to be a good husband to Evelyn, and to be a good father to my children, and to do everything that I possibly could to make sure that they knew who Jesus was, and that they had every opportunity to make the choice themselves for Jesus. And it was like a light came on all of a sudden, where I finally realized that this thing about being an astronaut was not as important as I thought it was. And I finally came to the point where I said, okay, Lord, I don't care what I go do or where You send me. I just want to try and do those things. I just want to be somebody who lives a life that glorifies You. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father, and come what may, as far as the rest of it goes. And Colonel Rick Husband's zeal and his passion for Christ when he made this realization skyrocketed. And he lived out the rest of his days to the point where he was entering that atmosphere and died doing the things that he loved, because God committed to him the desires of his heart. He became a good father and a good husband and a good astronaut in the same time, because he was doing it for the Lord God and him only. And so he died doing what he loved. God's jealousy for us is rooted in his love, in his being, because he is love. And he loves us intensely, and he desires our zeal, our passion, our enthusiasm for him, because that is how he feels for us. And he wants us to be jealous for him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we continually fall short in understanding just how deep and intense your love is for us. But Lord, we can always go back to the cross to see an example of just how intense that love is, how jealous you are for that relationship to be restored, to be brought back, and for us to be reconciled with you. Lord, may your sacrifice permeate our minds and hearts. May your, what you gave up on our behalf, the things that you faced, Lord Jesus, that we be reminded of, even as we partake of communion again today. Because all we can rest sure on in is that the Lord God of this universe intensely loves me. And that truth alone can carry us through life and all that we do as we live passionately for you in that love. Lord, thank you for being a jealous God and being a God of love and showing great mercy on us and the world. You are truly an amazing and awesome God. May we be representatives of that love and that message to the people in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.